first ask, when somebody is going to be behaving in some sort of way, which is a little bit gaivadik, people are a little bit, they feel very proud about the fact that they have certain things. Give me an example of someone who's about gaiva because they are
rich.
Someone's got a lot of money.
Donald Trump.
Okay. Someone who has a lot of money. Okay, that would be one example about a person who would be, let's say, be gaivadik or the fact that they're rich. What's another example of someone?
Smart.
Talented. Someone who's really smart. Someone who's really intelligent. Right, they go and they feel gaivadik over the fact that, like, I'm a lot smarter. What?
Speakers.
Anyway, so that's number two is someone who's really smart. What's a third? What's a third one?
Good looks.
Whatever.
Influential.
It's getting too personal now. Come on, no, there's a third one. I'll give you a hint. Oh, good. First year sentence.
Rebellion.
What would it be? Right, someone who's very strong. Let's say they keep a button open because they can't shut it, whatever. And someone who goes ahead and is very strong, someone who's very intelligent, someone who's very rich. This is when you'll often find that a person will be a balgaiva or at least be proud in those areas. And those are specifically the ones that the Navi comes along and tells us in Yirmiyahu, chapter 9, verse 22. I just had to be very proficient and paid attention by the Haftorah. And in the Haftorah it says, Ko Amar Hashem, so spoketh the Lord. Al Yishalel Chacham B'Chachmasa, a person who is a wise person, don't build yourself up, don't praise yourself because of the fact that you're a Chacham. A wise person, don't praise yourself from your wisdom. And the strong person, in his strength, very strong, okay. Don't praise yourself in the fact that you're very strong. And if you're very rich, right, if you've got a lot of cash, money, don't make yourself so praiseworthy, don't feel so gaivadik in your wealth. And then it goes on to say, the only thing that a person should feel some sort of pride, some sort of excitement and joy and pride is, Haskel Hashem. You should basically think a little bit, come to recognize, come to understand the fact, know that I exist and that I am God who does kindness and justice and righteousness in the land, and this is what I desire. So spoketh the Lord. Now, This is the pasuk, right? Now the question is, why? Why shouldn't the strong person be proud of the fact that he's strong? And why shouldn't the smart person be proud that he's smart? Why shouldn't the rich person be proud that he's rich? So this is should be right away a thought process. And someone will go and say, like, well, what do you want? Like, I worked on it and I got it. You know, that's what a person comes to think. That, like, and I went ahead and I went to work. I made money. I did my thing. Okay, some people would say if you're just born into it, then it really makes no sense. You're just born into something. But let's say a person even works for it and they make their money. The rags to riches story. So hey, I can be proud of the fact that I'm rich. Or a person comes in and let's say they're not so built up, they're not so strong and mighty, whatever, but they make a bet with someone in the family, whatever, and they have to put on a lot of weight to become strong, whatever, have muscle. So a person goes in and they build themselves up and they work and they become very strong. So hey, look, I'm great. Why shouldn't I praise that? And what about my wisdom? I wasn't always so smart and in school I didn't do so well, but you know what? I applied myself, I put what I had to do, and now look at me, I'm a chacham. That's what I would have thought perhaps, and maybe you as well, if you perhaps would have thought. Now the Gemara comes and says an amazing thing. It comes and answers a question. It's a fascinating topology of Gemara. But the Gemara says in Nida on page Tes Zayin Amud Bey 16b the following idea. It says that there is a malach by the name of Laila. Laila means night, and the malach is called Laila. The Gemara explains. I mean, it's the middle of a Gemara. Why is it called Laila, and why are we talking about this all together? If you want, take a look at the whole Gemara. But what I'm going to focus is the following idea: there was a malach by the name of Laila. There is a malach, and what does he do? This malach, also a malach, Laila Shemo, v'notel tipo mamidel v'kadosh baruch hu. This malach, he was the one who was in charge of pregnancy. I'm sorry, of birth. And he goes and he takes this tipa, this drop, Tipa, for those unfamiliar, means how a child, whatever you learn in school. So he goes in, he takes this drop that a child will come from. But how? Okay, but he takes this drop and he brings it in front of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Va'omer lefanav. Ribono shel Olam. He says, God, Tipa zu matehe aleha. What's going to be with this? What's going to be with this Tipa? This drop that's about to go out into the, you know, do as God do in order to bring about something to the world. What's it going to be? Gibor or Chalosh? Is it going to be strong or is it going to be weak? Chacham or Tipesh? Will it be smart or will it be stupid? Ashir or Ani? Will it be rich or will it be poor? Will it be a pauper? Ve'ilu Rasha or Tzadik lo ka'amar. But it doesn't ask if it's going to be a Rasha or a Tzadik. Kidda Rav Chanina, Damar Rav Chanina, Akobi de Shemaim Chutz Meir Shemaim. Like Rav Chanina says, everything is in the hands of Shemaim, except for Yir Shemaim. Shenemar, Ve'ato Yisrael Ma'ashem Lekecha Sholem Yimach. And now Israel, what does the Lord your God of Athkes love you with? Ki Yimli, Yir Hashem Lekecha, Lekecha B'chol 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 B'chol. It doesn't bring the whole Pasuk here, but he only brings one, the beginning of the Pasuk. That's the Gemara that I want to share with you, period, ad kan, the idea. Now, here's the point. The Gemara comes and tells us the following idea, and this is why a person to be a Bal Gaiva in any area of life, other than one area that maybe they can be, which is what the Navi comes and says that you should be, this past week's after, that you should actually be with, is you miss the point. To go ahead and be a Bal Gaiva that you're strong, or that you have money, or that you're rich, it's the same as money, by the way, or that you're wise, to go ahead and be a Bal Gaiva, or the fact that you're one of those things, it's very, very silly. Why is it silly? Because
it's all from God.
Because you had no. It's a, don't be. It's not like it's all from. See, the answer is you're right. It is all from God, but it's not the same statement of like it's all from God. Like this is taka, all from God. You did nothing for this. This is all nothing to do with you. Going ahead and being very proud and being very in a state of gaiva that has some semblance that you actually did something. But what if you did nothing? Try to think about it in terms of like this. You know, sometimes a person can feel like they're a big person when someone goes ahead and let's say you're very poor and someone goes and gives you $100 million. They give you a credit card that has $100 million on it. They say, here, take this money, right? Or let's say, I don't know, one of your parents gives you a credit card. Yeah? So you go ahead and you feel like a bit of a hot shot because you got all this money. And you maybe even behave like that, but how do you behave when the person who gave you the credit card walks in the room? Do you understand my question? Was that unclear? It wasn't clear? No? How do you behave when the person who gave you the money walks in the room? How do you behave? Do you still behave like a Bal Gaiva? Yes or no? Or is it what happened? The person just walked in the room. You're like a big hot shot. You're like, yo, look at me. I'm rolling, chilling, in it like a villain. Shakara, bara, got my car. And you got the thing. You're thinking you're the one who's got everything. You got your car. You got whatever. And then the person who gave it to you comes in the room. And you're like, what's up? Check it out. I'm rich. And he goes, what's wrong with you? And he takes it away. But to everyone else, you behave a certain way. But when that person walks in, you're like, oh my God. Get it? And oh my, it's God. And you start to realize that, yeah, there's God involved. And all of a sudden, it changes the entire way in which we behave. It was all given to you. You did nothing for this. You did nothing for it. Someone who is rich did nothing for their money. Now, it's not true what I just said. I take that back. It's not true they did nothing for it. That's already a discussion. Right? The Vilna Gaon explains that the reality of why this happens, you'll usher Ani, which opens up a whole other discussion about Gilgulim. He explains that the reality why someone is rich or they're poor is because based off a previous Gilgul, and they have to go out and they have to fix something up. Even if you're a tzaddik gomer in this world, you could still be completely poor because of a certain thing of the Gilgul, or you could still be rich because of Gilgulim. So it might have something to do with what you did in a previous life. But right now, when you come into this world, it has nothing to do with anything right here. Hashem gave it to us, and this is who we are. So for a person to now go ahead and behave like they're about giving it, you didn't do anything for it. It doesn't make any sense. So then what do we have? What do we have, ultimately? The only thing that we do have is Yirah Shemayim. That's it. Only thing that we have is Yirah Shemayim. And that's why he ends by saying, Rasha or Tzaddik, this the Malach doesn't ask. He doesn't ask, are you a Rasha or are you a Tzaddik? Because that is completely in your hands. I forget who it is. Who did you tell me it was? It was a Rebbe, no? Because I remember hearing from Rav Noach, but you told me he's from another. Anyway, Rav Noach used to say, and if anyone knows who the Rebbe is from, right? He used to say, anyway, he said that what does it mean? Kol b'dei Shemayim chutz me'Yirah Shemayim. Everything's in the hands of Hashem except for Yirah Shemayim. It means everything is in the hands of Hashem to say no to you, except for Yirah Shemayim. If you daven for Yirah Shemayim, if you ask Hashem for Yirah Shemayim, you want to be connected to Hashem, he cannot say no to you, he must say yes. Hakol b'di Hashemayim, to say no, except for Yiras Shemayim. The question is, do we actually ask for it? Think about it in terms of a situation when a person is about to do some Aveira. You find yourself in a circumstance where you might fall to do the wrong thing. And right before you have to do the wrong thing, you're like, oh, I really shouldn't do it. Oh my God, I really shouldn't do it. So what do? You rip out the thing, you put on Shchorim, you go to another town. But take it, the thing. First of all, some of you don't know what I'm talking about. And those who know what I'm talking about, you never ever did that. And then you wonder why you did the Aveira. I thought about putting on Shchorim, but you didn't do it. So you go and say, Kobe de Shemayim, Chutz Meyira Shemayim, means that a moment of weakness when we feel like we're going to do the wrong thing, at that moment we have to turn to Hashem and say, Hashem, help me. I'm going to do something wrong now. I feel an urge to do the wrong thing. Help me get over this and not do the wrong thing. Kobe de Shemayim, Chutz Meyira Shemayim, he can't hold you back. He'll be able to, walk away from it. I know one of you would be like, I tried, it didn't work. It's not true. You were probably diving to Allah or something like that. I don't know what you were doing, yeah? Which is really God also. So, bless him, but deal. Fuck. But the point is, at the same time, what we find is that it comes down to Yiras Shemayim is the only thing that we have. The only thing that we have is Yiras Shemayim. That's all that we got. That's all that we got. Everything we got is Yiras Shemayim. Now, I said it's all we got. That's not such a small feat. That's a huge. Chimil says Zutrahi, right? The Gemara says in Brachos, it's a Moshe, it's a Milsa Zutra. Right? But what does that mean to say? Again, I'm even yawning for this. I'm leaving a certain point because I don't want to focus on these ideas. If you get it, you get it. If you don't, fine, move along. Fine. But the point we were saying is Yiras Shemayim, a little bit of Yiras Shemayim. A little bit of Yiras Shemayim means making a choice between getting closer to Hashem or further away from Hashem, bottom line. So when it goes and says all these ideas that a person starts to feel a certain way, this, by the way, opens up a question. So why is it that Hashem made it like this? Why are some people poor, some people rich, some like this? So the Gra gives one answer. So I saw, but then the Yalka Biurim in the back of the Masechta, a beautiful idea from the Siftei Chaim who explains like this. It just struck me very similar to the Ibn Ezra in Parshas Yisro by Lo Sachmod. You know, the Torah says not to be jealous. Lo Sachmon, Ish Esrayecha V'chamoro, or something like that. I don't know when you compare the two, but you can't go out, you're not to be Sachmon, you can't be jealous. There's a few words in between, but whatever, I just have to put them together. Don't be jealous, don't covet, don't want. Huge machlokas Rishonim, I say huge, it's not really, but it's, you know, you say it like that, it sounds like it's bigger. It's a machlokas Rishonim, right? Most Rishonim say that in order to violate the prohibition of Lo Sachmon, of don't be jealous, just quickly, just to make sure that everyone knows, did we ever discuss the Aseres HaDibros? As a whole, did we discuss them? Everybody knows them? Everybody knows the Aseres HaDibros? Yes or no? Yes. Everyone knows them, yes? Okay, number 7?
Don't steal.
It's one of the 3, good. Okay, get out. All right, so whenever you're ready, you can open up to it. Okay, so I'm going to teach you the trick very quickly. Listen very carefully. Very, very simple. Ready? Number 1? Say it with me. Number 1, raise your hand. Number one, there is only one God. There's only one God. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. One is? One God, to know there's God. 2, there are no 2 gods. Clear, right? Lo yilech Elohim achirim aponai. Not to be confused with Elohim achirim, because then you gave power to it, and therefore that's over Avodah Zarah itself. Lo yilech Elohim achirim aponai. It's number 2. So what's number 1? One God. Number 2, there are no 2 gods. Number 3, O-M-G, or O-M-H. Don't say Hashem's name in vain. Lo sis Hashem Hashem lekecha l'shav. O-M-G. Oh my, you shouldn't just say that thing. No saying Hashem's name in vain. Is that clear? Yes or no? Yes or no? What's number 2? No 2 gods. What's number 3? Don't say God's name in vain. 4, 2 challahs, 2 candles, Shabbos. 2 cows, 2 candles, Shabbos. Number 5, you mess with your parents, you're going to get smacked, boy. You understand me? Yeah, some of you are like, no, daddy. Right, but okay, not again. Right, but you get the idea. Right, that's number 5. Number 5, what's number 4?
Number 4 is Shabbos.
Shabbos. Number 5? Parents. Number 6 is a 6-shooter. 6-shooter is a gun, right? You know, one of those, like, you feel lucky? Got 6 bullets. You guys know what a 6-shooter is. A bazooka with 6 bullets. Okay, I don't know if there's such a thing, right? Okay, so a 6-shooter is don't kill, don't kill. Number 6 is don't kill. Number 6 is a 6-shooter. Number 7, don't tell me your inappropriate things. Number 7 is the kala walks around the chasen 7 times, and they are connected just with each other. Is that clear? That means do not commit adultery. This is just for you right over here. Yeah, what you're walking around, take a look, because that's the only one, all right? Don't look anywhere else. That's number 7. Number 8, take the number 8, turn it sideways. What does it look like? Looks like an 8 sideways, right? And also, in the example of the notes, it's known as handcuffs. You put your hand in, handcuffs. That is low Signov, do not steal, which does not mean monetary things, but rather what it means is kidnapping. You're not allowed to kidnap. Number nine, who plays Uno? Uno. Anyone plays Uno? You ever get confused with six, the number six and the number nine? It gets confusing sometimes. They have the line underneath. For those who are saying yes, okay, so chacham tipesh, it's not your fault. Then we get confused, but that's the following. That's understand. I like going to. That's understand that we get confused with six and nine. And that's what? You're not allowed to say false testimony. Six and nine gets confusing between the two. One's false over the other one. And number ten is where I want what you have. I go and I take what you want. You got it? I want what you have. Most Rishonim explain like this, which is if you want to be over losach mode, which is jealousy, if you want to be over losach mode, the way to be over it, you actually have to set a plan in action to take the thing from the person. That's how most people explain losach mode. Say again. No jealousy. Then I'm going to come and take what you have. I'm going to take what you have. There are some Rishonim that explain it's just the feeling itself. Just the feeling itself of wanting what someone else has is in of itself a problem. Okay, now just very quickly, make sure we got it. Eight, what's eight? Handcuffs is? The signal. What's six? Six? Don't kill. Eight? Three? Five? Four? Seven? Okay, whoever just said adultery, it's do not commit adultery. So I'm like, okay. I was like, yo, adultery, y'all, right? Okay, 10, 9, false testimony, 1, 2, okay. So now, one of them is called Lo Sachmon. Now, the sense of difference comes up two times in the Torah. The first time it comes to Parshas Yisro. And Parshas Yisro is Lo Sachmon. It comes on the Ibn Ezra. Ibn Ezra comes and explains, how could it be that a person goes there, they're not going to be jealous? I mean, what do you want from me? I go and I see something. This is actually the Lashon. I see something. It's nice. It looks good. It's nice. And I want it, right? And now I want to have that thing. How could it be? I'm not going to be jealous of such a thing. You want to tell me, put on tefillin. Don't kill. Keep Shabbos. I get it. Action, etc. But a feeling? You're going to stop me from such a thing? How does that be? How does that work? So he comes and explains very simply, put to understand. I'm going to mix it with some other ideas. He gives a mashal and he says the following. He's a very important beginning opening words. He says, to anyone who has das nechona, which means anyone who's... There's a good word for it. Das nechona. Midaito nechona. How do you explain that? What? What? Correct. Political correctness. No. Anyone who has correct knowledge, anyone who has a common sense, which is not so common, but anyone who has a common sense, has a real understanding in life, will get the following example. And that's a very important line because most will not get it nowadays, unfortunately. You'll understand the following. He says, a pauper, a poor person, is never looks at the princess and says, wow, I really want to be with the princess. That's not something which he thinks about because it's totally out of his league. He gets it that he has no shaykhis to it. So a das nechona understands it. Nowadays, anybody can do whatever they want, right? You can be a businessman and be president. But the point is that understand that someone who has a das nechona will understand that what it comes down to is that you can't just be connected to that. You have no sheikhs, is such a thing. What does it come down to? Losachmo. Losachmo, don't be jealous. Why jealous? So the Sifzei Chaim explains, similar to this idea, the following idea. You just got to try to realize the following. The Ribbono Shlom set us up in a way that it's really custom tailored. It's mommy. Every single person is custom made. When the Gemara says on the Zion of the Beis in Sanhedrin, Mishri Lina Ver'ol, and the world is created for me, it's Pshutu Kamashmo, and every other person in the world is but a pawn to your life. Now, every one of us has the same idea. And which means to say that we are custom tailored, custom fit, that every single one of us has what we need in order to be able to do our mission. So to someone to be jealous and say, oh, they're rich, I want to be rich, that's similar to saying, that person has bad eyesight, I want bad eyesight. Now, we say that guy's crazy. Why would you want bad eyesight? Why is that good for you? That's the same thing as saying, why would you want to be rich? That's not good for you if you aren't rich. Did you ever get what just happened there? She means to say that this is something which is specific to us to be able to go ahead and take care of and to be going, doing. So therefore, we have the following. We have the brought down, like we said, in 22:9 is Jeremiah. And then we got to the Gemara in Nida on 16b, which tells us, explains why that is. Because that's how the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world. This is who you are. So to be a balgaiva over it is silly. That doesn't mean anything. You did nothing for it. And then it brings us to Koheles. Now Koheles is the easy way to remember this. You can look at the end and it gives you a simon. I'm going to switch the simon just a little bit. How many prakam are there in Koheles? Who said 12? Very close. This matter, you're right, actually. It's exactly close. And that's 12. There are 12 prakim. How many psukim are there?
653.
You're messing? How did you 222. So it goes like this. Yeah, and now, how does somebody remember these ideas? So there's a simon at the end. The one is zeh. Zeh, it's coming from the psukim itself. Zeh means this one. Zeh is gematria 12. Zeh and 222, I just happened to think about it because of a different class that I gave the gematria. Gematria comes up to barech. Zeh barech, the one who is blessed. The one who is blessed is one who learns Koheles and gets the point of what it's about. Because Shlomo Melech, who also known as Koheles, until he got beat up in school a lot, then he switched it back to Shlomo, he goes ahead and Shlomo Melech wrote a book, Ecclesiastes. And if you look at it right over there, he goes through a whole thing. What did I do in life? I did everything there was to do. I went skydiving on Pesach. I went, scuba diving. I did crack, smack, PCP, LSD, weed, heroin. I drank all I had to drink. I messed around. I did it. Right? It was good. I did everything while skydiving. And he says, Hevel Avodah Mekolefa, everything is nothing. He says, it's all nothing. And he finally ends off in the very last pasuk. And after 220 psukim, because really then 221 is the one that says it. 222 is another pasuk, and then we repeat 221 again. So in pasuk 221, he says the following idea. I mean, it's actually in Yud Gimel. Yud Beis Yud Gimel, 12, 13. What's number 9? Number 9? False testimony. Sof Davar, says Koheles, and we end by saying the Sof Davar Kol Nishma, which we have discussed in the past, the Targum. I in the shiur that we discussed it in. Sof, or the Targum. Sof Davar Kol Nishma. At the end, after all is said and done, but really everything is heard, is really what it says in the Targum. You see, it's scary. It's fun for everyone else but you. Sof Davar Kol Nishma. Es Elokim Yira. Fear God. Es Mitzvah Sof Shemor. And go ahead and guard his commandments. Ki Zeh Kol Adam. Because that is all a man is. What does that mean? What does that mean? Ki Zeh Kol Adam. What the Gemara told us in Tezayin Amud Beis, the only thing a person has is Yiras Shamayim. So when it says Ki Zeh Kol Adam, what it's saying is quite literally, there is nothing else. You're going to be rich, you're going to be poor, you're going to be strong, you're going to be weak, you're going to be smart, you're going to be stupid. This is not up to you. What is up to you? Ki Zeh Kol Adam, the entire everything of a person is, whether or not they connect with Hashem or not. That's the essence of everything of you. Now, I want to share with you a story. I don't know if I told this to you or not. If I did, then I will have said it before. Here we go. The story is about Rav Elchanan Wasserman. Rav Elchanan Wasserman was in Europe, and he needed to raise money for his yeshiva. So he decides to go to Chutz Laaretz. He's going to America in order to get some cash money for his yeshiva. When he gets to America, he starts making him phone calls. And somebody says, you know, if you really want to make good money, you got to call so-and-so, Plony, whatever his name was. I don't know. I'm going to make up a name, but I'm nervous. It's one of your names, so I won't say it. But is anyone of your names Cohen? And your last name's Cohen? Cohen? No? Okay, so the guy's name was Sam Cohen. Let's say LaMushel. There's a name. I forget the name. Sam Cohen. So he goes ahead and he says, Rav Elchanan Wasserman, here's like, if you really want to make some money, go visit this guy, Sam Cohen. So he goes, Sam Cohen. The name just rings a bell. And then he pops into his head. He goes, Sam Cohen. He realized it's Shmuel Cohen. And he realized that this is, did he learn in Branovich? Is that what he learned back in the day? I think so. Right? So Rav Elchanan, makes sense. Right? So when he was young, he was learning in Branovich. And he learned with this guy, Shmuel Cohen. He was learning in yeshiva with him. They learned together in Cheder, whatever it was. So he goes, wow, I can't believe it. And they said, oh, this guy is a multi. He's the top of the top, cream of the crop. He is it. This is the guy you got to go to. So they say, okay, fine. He goes and he tries to make phone calls, but until he gets through, until finally, so he leaves a message. And he says, you know, this, my name is Elchanan Wasserman. If you tell him, please, to call me back, whenever it is. So he goes ahead, he gets him on the phone. When he gets on the phone, he hears the guy goes, he goes, Elchanan, how are you, my good friend? You know, what's going on? How can I help you? You know, what can I do for you? So he says to him, you know, I'd love to see you. I'd love to speak with you. Maybe we can meet. He goes, listen, I'm very busy. You know, because he knows what's he coming for. He's a millionaire. So what's he coming to visit him for? He wants cash money. And so that's what he wants. He wants the stash. Yeah. So he goes and he says to him, he's like, I'm busy. I don't got time, whatever. He's like, no, I just want to see you. That's it. I just want to say hello. He's like, okay, all right. But okay, oh, sure, Elchanan, my old friend. Sure, we'll go. We'll make a meeting. And he goes. Then he goes to meet him. And he gets there. This guy owns a suit factory. This is what he does. He's a tailor. He's a this massive production that's going on. And he sells like the top of the top, like custom made, good Gashmir style, and like really really good stuff. Whatever it is, yeah. What? Okay. Anyways, he goes ahead. Geschmack, just married. She said, yeah. Anyway, so yeah, all the different things going on. And okay, I'm jealous. Okay, 10. Okay, so he goes ahead and he says to him. Come, let's meet. So he comes into his office. He says, okay, you have a Chanan, you know, so nice to see you. They reminisce. Now they see this guy Sam is totally off the D. He is off the D. We're not just talking about WTI. He's not a WTO. He's in with timeout. He's in FFB. Now he's off the D. And this guy's totally out. And he looks at him. He's like, oh, they're talking. He's looking at him. Not sure if Shabbos or whatever. Yarmulke. Okay, so they're doing the old, you know, the old reminiscing. You remember back in Baranovich, Baba Bastra? Okay, whatever. What are you going to talk about, right? So the guy, they're talking the whole thing. And then he says to him, okay, Chanan, what can I do for you? He said, well, actually, I'm so happy that you're here. I actually came from Europe because I have a problem with my button. And I heard that you have a very big factory that fixes suits. Maybe you could fix my button. And he's like, yeah, we could fix your button. That's not a problem. But what do you need? What are you here for? What can I do for you? He says, that's it. That's all I wanted. I just needed the button fixed. He's like, Chanan, don't play games with me, okay? You didn't come to my office in order to that. You know how the tables have turned. Like he thinks he's going to ask. He's going to deny whatever. So he's like, no, that's my button. I'm saying maybe you can fix my button. I heard you're really good at this. My button? He's like, dude, I can get my other guy. He's like, what's this dude? He's like, it's playing. But I can get my little guy to go and do it. My big guy, little guy, middle guy, whoever guy I have. I'll get him to do it. He's like, okay, thank you so much. I appreciate it. I'll leave the jacket here and I'll come pick it up. He goes, Chanan, what are you talking about? What do you want from me? He's like, that's all I want. That's it. That's all I came for. He's like, you did not travel from Europe to have your button fixed. That's not the reason. He's like, oh, what do you want me to tell you? I'm here. I need you to fix my button. I'll leave it. I'll be back tomorrow. He leaves. He is beside himself. He doesn't know what to do with himself. He's like, what's going on here? Comes back the next day and he says, okay, Chanan, I fixed your button. Now tell me, what are you doing here? He said, I don't understand what your problem is. I was here for the button. It was nice to see you. You should have a lot of atzlacha. Hopefully we'll see each other again. And he gets up, he starts to leave. And the guy goes nuts. He's like, I'm not letting you leave this office until you tell me what you want. There is no way that you came 3,000 miles. I don't know if that's true, but I don't know how it works. But 3,000 miles. Is that right? Who's from Europe? No one? Okay, so it's 3,000 miles exactly. Am I right? From Germany?
I don't know my...
Kilometers! 5,000 kilometers! Sein still. There's no way. If you traveled 5,000 kilometers, 5,436 kilometers, in order to have a button change. So the Chanan turns to him and says, and you, my dear friend. He says, and you. You know how far it is from the Kisei HaKavod? You know how far it is from the Gemara Tes Zayin Amud Beis? When Lila comes and says, Tipa, this Tipa, what's going to be? You know how far it is? The Gemara Chagigah goes through it. I don't remember the exact number. I came up with the number. It's like 15 million years or something. It's some crazy to get to the first Rekia, the second Rekia, the third Rekia, until you get to the Kisei HaKavod. You mean to tell me that the Ribono Shel Olam sent your neshama from Shamayim down to this world in order for you to fix buttons for a living? And you think it's crazy that I traveled 3,000 miles to fix a button? What's so crazy about that? Booyah Kasha. And he said, well, Chanan, how do you know about that? I thought you have a filter, and whatever, there's a whole discussion. The guy gets the point. The story goes he became a Baal Tshuva. I don't know if that's the kid version or the real one. I don't know. But they say that he became a Baal Tshuva based on this. He experienced it, he understood it, and he got the point. So we say every Sunday, and on other days as well, we say the following tefillah. We say the following tefillah. And there's some more other thing. If you stop and you think about what this tefillah means, it's just mind-blowing. We say in the Shir Shel Yom, that's at the very end of the prayer service. Hayom Yom Rishon Bashabbos. The Rosh is fine. That's Ashkenaz. Okay. Anyway. L'David in Israel, Hashem Artsavot. Huh. Okay, now this is the following. Mi Ale Ba'ar Hashem. Who will ascend to the mountain of the Lord? Umi Akum B'Makom Kamsho. Who will be upheld and be there in his holy place? Niki Kapayim Uvar Le'ivav Asher Lo Nafshi V'Lo Nishvar Lemir Ma. Let me ask you guys a question. You guys are going to go on a trip, some of you. They're going tomorrow morning, all of you, or many of you are going tomorrow morning to, on vacation to Auschwitz. And too soon. You're going. That's all right. You guys are going to Europe. Is that right? Is that right? Yes or no? Yes. Some of you going. Okay. Has anyone here ever gone on a trip and you're not sure what to pack? So you packed a little bit too much. Yes, you've done this before. I remember when I first got married, so I had to impress my wife. So whenever we would go somewhere, I'd bring like 40 svarim with me on the plane. It wasn't like, Enam Shtark, whatever. And I would bring all these svarim. How many of them would I end up actually learning? Every one of them. Okay, but the answer is one of them, maybe. Right? That's end up learning. I end up carrying this whole thing. And, schar hagbah biyadi. Whatever it is. But like... Schar no say, but the reality is I ended up carrying it, and I sometimes you're doing that, you think, do I take this or not take it? You take it, and you're like, you carried it the whole way for nothing. You did it for nothing. What does it mean when we say Nikika Paim Ubai Levav? Who are the ones who are going to be chilling with God? Those whose hands are clean, Ubai Levav, their hearts are pure. Asher lo nasola shov nafshi. Someone who didn't carry nosa to be carried, be nosa bel chaderu, who wasn't nosa, lushov, is number, don't say guys in vain, number three, lushov, losishem shem called lushov, who in vain carried nafshi, his soul, velo nishbali mirma, and didn't swear deceitfully. Because before the neshama comes in, it has to swear that it's going to uphold the Torah, we're going to keep the Torah, we're going to do everything that we can. Who are the ones who are going to chill with God? Nikika Paim Valav Ashelona Sala Shad Nafshi. You didn't carry your nefesh, your neshama with you, for nothing. Velo Nishpale Mirma, didn't swear falsely when you said you're going to uphold and keep. What that means is, we came on a trip down to Olam Hazeh. And when we came down this trip to Olam Hazeh, we brought with us some baggage. That baggage is called the neshama. We have our neshama. We have our nefesh, as it calls it. We have our nefesh. We have our soul. And some people carry their soul with them for 80 years for nothing. It's like that extra safer, that extra pillow that you brought that you never ended up using. And you just had to lug it with you. And it was a burden. And you end up thinking like, why? What's the point? What is it? What's the use of this? When we go in Rachmana Litzlan, but a person who gets upstairs... And the Ribbono Shalom says, I gave you a neshama, and what did you do with it? You carried it for nothing. You had it with you as extra baggage, and you did nothing with it. Who are the ones? Mi Ale Bar Hashem, Umi Akum Mekom Shekachol Dikibar Asher Lo Nasal Hashem Nafshi. You didn't carry it for nothing. V'lo Nishpal Lemirma, and you didn't swear falsely. You actually upheld the swear, the Shavua. This is just the beginning now. You're going to now go take this little trip. You're going to go now on this little vacation, but it's the beginning of Bein Hazmanim. Don't let it be at the end of Bein Hazmanim that you are nosa nafsham nafshechem lashav and nishbatem lemirma. Don't let it be that a whole 2 or 3 weeks goes by, or a month goes by of Nisan, a whole month goes by, month and a half, because to be Mahadri, and Raymond Mahadri, you leave early to go to the trip, and then it's okay. To leave early, it's an extra Zman, it's not really this Zman. You leave early, and now you have a month and a half until until the next month, and then over the whole month, and everyone here knows what I'm talking about, that you've done this before, unless you haven't, in which case, Baruch Hashem. But if you have, then you know what I'm talking about. You go through a whole month and a half at the end, you look back, you didn't do anything. You literally wasted a month and a half of your life. Okay, so let's do like this, because the timing, as usual, I get carried away. Quick recap everything we did. End up with one point, and then we bounce. Here we go. So we started in the beginning of the three different ideas. What a person goes, and a bigger guy would take over. A person is really short, a person is really smart, a person is really rich. These are the three ideas. But comes along, the Pesuk says in 9:22 in Jeremiah, which, by the way, interestingly, it's the Shlow points out, fascinating that a person or guy would take in these things. These are the very things you have no control over. But those are the ones a person goes to get involved. So they said, but why keep Mazus Salomon Salomon? We don't give a single shabbat. I said, we go with Shabbat and the city. What does it come down to? Is that ultimately what the connection of course, but like the Gemara says in Nidon, page 16b, that says, well, the following deal was a malach by the name of Lila. Lila brings the. How do you remember that? The tipa in front of him says, "What he's going to get?" He asks, "What's going to be? He's going to be rich. He's going to be poor. He's going to be. He's going to be smart. He's going to be stupid." And we say, "If there's someone you know is stupid, it's Nebel, but it is. But if someone's going to be rich, he's going to be strong, and he's going to be weak. Well, the person at the end of the day, what comes out of that's up to them anyway. The only thing that's going to be up to them is Rosh Hashanah. We have an opportunity. The only Rosh Hashanah, because it says, 'Kol Beishav Chutz Mirshamim Beginning of Yerushalayim.' They're going to be Yerushalayim. They're going to be before like we said in the pasuk in Deuteronomy 10:12. The kind of Yerushalayim is going to be Shalimak. Keep in mind, Hashem will keep all of them. The person is going to be in fear because that's the only you have is Yira to go and jump into the end. That's why he says in Qualis 12:13. Very good. This is the following. So if the bar call Nishma, so the Kim Yura Vismishmo, Kizekola Odom, that is all that we are. The only choices that we do have, assuming we have free choice, and I'm gonna do the Khus Shana whatever, but the only choice that we do have is the idea that a person goes to maybe we're gonna be close to Hashem for the way from is Yiras Hashem. That's all that we are, that's all that we have. And a person goes and gives up even that. We don't even take a Yiras Shamayim choice. That means you just killed yourself. We just used our life for nothingness. And that's when he comes and said, the King of Harbel of Shalom, comes at the shores of the Chodom Asman. What are you upset about? He's traveled 3,456 away to 35, 46 miles, or 32, whatever we said, 5,000 kilometers. We did that in order to go out to get a button. You traveled 15 million years to come here. And all of a sudden, what ends up happening, you just work with buttons. That was the whole purpose of your life. Chaval, Chazit, Mabruk, Baklawa. That's horrible. Person, it's the whole thing of what happens over here, just the fact that we've been carrying the thing. And that's what it says. The secret, I mean, what happens is we get cleaner hearts and pure the hearts. Cleaner hands, pure hearts. And such a real effect that we're carrying this for a purpose over this next month and a half. As we're going to go now, going into starting from the trip, make sure that you didn't just have a neshama for no purpose. Don't carry the neshama for nothing. Don't carry, again, the actual lashon of the nefesh. Don't carry the nefesh for nothingness. Let it be that after a month and a half, you look back and fine, you got to chill. You got to spend time with the family. You got to do what you got to do. I get it. And there's times to be able to be involved in doing other things as well. But don't be porek the old Shel Torah. Don't throw away the entire existence of what we're doing over here. So recognize, before we get out over here, we have to make sure that we have some sort of plan. You guys are getting on the plane in a few hours, which means before you get on the plane, you have to set up already, what are you going to do every single day? Whether it's going to be an hour of learning a day, or it's going to be a minute. It doesn't matter. Your life, do whatever you want. But there has to be something that you're doing, that you're holding on to this. Because if not, it just resets to zero and it becomes much more difficult to start up. We got to take something that we're going to be doing. Something in learning. Continue with the learning. Don't stop with the learning. Of course, it's not a shayla like, minyanim, okay, I'll go to minyan shachar. What are you talking about? It's not incentives anymore. There's still a chiyuv of shachris. It's not like all of a sudden, well, incentives is over. You don't have to put on tefillin, right? There's still a chiyuv to do these things. Which means, of course, you do the basics, but make sure that we're doing a little bit more than that. That we're keeping up, that it wouldn't be that for this month and a half, it's nasa nafshi l'shav. Shav nafshi, and we are in Ishbati Lemirma. It should be something which is real. The Rebbeinu Shel Eilim should be able to give us the ability, God willing, Hashem will give us, inshallah, bikun kwayas. With God's help, everything will be good. But we have to understand that we have to daven for it, like we explained. Hakobi de Shemaim chutz mi Yerushalayim. Everything is in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, except for Yerushalayim. Meaning, like we explained with Noach, everything is in the hands of Hashem to say no, except for Yerushalayim. If you ask Hashem for help, and that's what we should be doing every day. When it comes to a time that we set up that we're going to be doing something, we say right now, Hashem, help me, because I have a taiva not to learn. I have a taiva to waste time. Go ahead and grab it. When should it be done? In the morning. Because at the end of the day, it's hard, it's difficult. In the mornings, we have the most koch. You grab the opportunity in the morning, you go out and you take the opportunity of 5 minutes, 10 minutes, half an hour, whatever it is, an hour, and you sit down and you do it, and you say, Hashem, help me do it. And minayin afilu echad, like the Mishnah says, I know even one is sitting, because Baruch Hu is Yoshev and sitting with them. Look in the Mishnah, you'll take it, you look yourself. But even one sitting and getting it clearly, that's what it comes down to. Number seven.
Adultery.
Don't do adultery. All right, gentlemen, it's been a pleasure. I'll see you. Take care.